I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, in the aftermath of President Donald Trump's executive order rolling back some rights for transgender citizens and a Supreme Court action moving a case involving those rights back to a lower court, we're going to talk about what it means to be transgender in Indiana and in America. My guests are Ken and Christina Inskeep, parents of a transgender child, and Chris Paulson of Freedom Indiana. Please join the conversation. Call us at 866-476-3881. Our email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about what it means to be transgender in Indiana and America in light of President Trump's executive order rolling back some rights for transgender citizens and the recent Supreme Court ruling. It seems an appropriate time to talk about this. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Ken and Christina Inskeep. They are parents of a transgender child. And Chris Paulson of Freedom Indiana. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, I probably ought to start. We have an email already from our regular listener, Jerry, that speaks to a point that I've got to make. Jerry writes, your panel today contains no anti-transgender representatives. Is this just because the transgender phenomenon is real? It is just because we mere humans don't actually know what gender is. Please explain yourself. Jerry, I think, is doing this tongue-in-cheek. Those of you who are hearing it over the air can't see the exclamation points and the capital letters. But it speaks to a point. We extended invitations to Senator Jim Toms, to Eric Miller, and to other advocates for restricting the rights of transgender citizens here in the state. All of them either declined or to appear on the air or did not respond to the request. So I want to make that clear that we reached out and were not able to get someone to come on the air, but we did give them a chance to make their side of the argument, and they chose not to take the opportunity. So I'm going to start first. We've got a couple of news hooks here. Obviously, we've got the president's executive order, but then on the heels of that, we had the Supreme Court's action, and Ken, and in your non-fatherly life, you are a lawyer. Could you talk about what the Supreme Court did?
Sure. So when the Obama administration issued its guidance to schools, essentially what it was providing was its interpretation of how Title IX would apply in a particular circumstance and advising schools of what procedures they should follow in order to make sure their federal funds were not jeopardized. The Trump administration then rescinded that guidance and said, that's not our interpretation of the rule, and that's not going to be the way we interpret that law. In the meantime, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals had been working on a case that came up from Virginia, and in their decision, they relied heavily on the Obama administration's interpretation of Title IX in reaching their decision. So since the Trump administration rescinded that guidance document, the Supreme Court said, okay, Fourth Circuit, we're going to wipe away the opinion you entered because it was based on that guidance that's no longer in effect. Take another look at the issue and decide it based on the law without that presidential guidance of how the president would interpret it. So basically, it'll be rebriefed now in that lower court of appeal, and then the Fourth Circuit will come to a decision, and then either party would be entitled to seek Supreme Court review of that decision.
So I know this was cast as a defeat of sorts for advocates for equal rights, for, you know, the LGBTQ community. It sounds like, from what I'm hearing you say, it's much more just a reset.
Yes, that's exactly right.
We go back and we start all over again.
So where it puts us is we're exactly in the same place we were before the Obama administration provided its guidance document to schools. And then in turn, because the Fourth Circuit was relying on that interpretation, the Supreme Court just said, hey, take another look at it without that guidance and tell us what you think.
Chris, this had to have been the executive order, though, the new executive order from the Trump administration, the Supreme Court ruling, had to have been a little bit disheartening, because some ways here in Indiana, the fight over inclusion for transgender citizens, this has been ground zero.
It has been, and it was disappointing. As Ken said, it's not a defeat. Mm-hmm. It's a reset. It was most disappointing in the way that it was portrayed, I think, because I think our LGBT youth heard that as a defeat when it actually wasn't. It was just a minor setback. It's going to take a little more time. We could be in the exact same place again next session. So I don't think it wasn't a step back. But I think we need to let our youth know, and adults, that this was not a loss. It was a reset.
And it doesn't actually change the law in any way. The law is still what the issue has always been, arguments over what the existing law means. And so those arguments on both sides are still there. And until the Supreme Court weighs in and says this is the answer, that argument will persist.
So Ken and Christina, part of the reason you're here is obviously the issue of rights for transgender citizens hits very close to home for the two of you. You're the parents of a transgender child. With as few interruptions as I can provide, could you tell us a little bit about your child?
Oh, we'd love to. We are the parents of five kids, actually, ages almost 32 down to 19. And one of our kids had a bit of a rough journey throughout his childhood, realized that he was transgender in high school about 5 years ago. That took us by surprise because we didn't know anything about what transgender meant. We were just regular parents doing our everyday thing, taking the kids to basketball practice and choir and all that, you know, fixing dinner, all that stuff.
Familiar with the drill.
You know, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say this. I have a master's degree in education. You know, Ken's a lawyer. We're highly educated. We're a committed couple. We've been married now almost, 34 years. We still had no idea what it meant to be transgender. How could that? I'm embarrassed to say that. I've missed that. But so it took us by surprise. So we said, well, with big eyes, we're like, okay, we don't know much about this. Let's learn about it and work through it together. So we had a steep learning curve. We immediately immersed ourselves in finding out what transgender meant, and it was a journey. But after he realized that he was transgender, many of his distressors, his depression, and all that lifted to such an enormous degree that it was quite amazing.
And I probably ought to. I know, but there are doubtless people out here who do not know. How do you define transgender? When you said you did not know what transgender meant, what did they?
Excellent question. So I guess I'll just start in the beginning.
Yeah.
In utero.
Okay.
That's the beginning. In utero, our brains develop at a different pace than our body develops. Gender identity is in the brain. So we know when we are very young who we are. Most of us, our identity, our knowledge that I'm a girl that aligns with the equipment we've been given. Okay? So when there's like probably less right around 1% of the population that this is not true for, that they're part of this beautiful mosaic of humanity, part of this variety, and their gender identity does not align with the sex at birth, okay? So this the sex, the biological sex. So transgender is kind of an umbrella or expression that covers people who believe that I'm not a boy, I am a girl, or vice versa. It covers people who may not feel an affinity with either of the binary, the male or the female. They may think of themselves as somewhere in between. They may just think, well, today I feel more this, more that. So gender fluidity, gender queer, all those terms that are coming up more commonly in people's awareness, I'm calling transgender is kind of the umbrella term for those people who are gender expansive, gender creative, outside of the normal binary that people think of.
If I could kind of jump in,
please.
I think it's important to recognize different terms. So there's gender identity. So I know I'm a man. I feel male. Now, you ask me, well, how do I know that? How do I feel that? I don't have to look at myself naked to tell that. It's just something I feel in terms of who I am. Now, this is not the same as who I'm sexually attracted to. Who I'm sexually attracted to is a different part of me. And again, it's kind of one of those, why am I attracted to this beautiful woman next to me? I guess that's obvious. But for whatever reason, I'm attracted to the opposite sex. Then there's how I present myself, my gender expression. Do I dress in, you know, I'm in earth tones and a very conservative dresser. Other people may be much better at fashion and be a much snappier dresser and present a certain way to the world. And so these are different terms, and it's important to remember each of these different things make up who we are. And many of them, it's hard to articulate. Why do you like a certain color more than another color? Why do you like men, or why do you like women, or why do you like both? It's just one of those things. You like what you like, and you feel who you are. I know my identity really strongly. I'm fortunate that it matches up with what people expect it to be because of my equipment.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about the issue of equal rights for transgender citizens here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. So, Ken, Christina, that conversation or a series of conversations when your son first said, okay, I'm transgender, could you walk us through what that process was like?
You better start because he came
well,
to you first.
So we were driving on 65 between trucks in the rain at 70 miles an hour when my then, what I understood to be daughter, asked me, what do you think of this name? And it was like, where is this coming from? And so I kind of asked a few questions, and he said, this is my name. And so I asked more questions. What do you mean that's my name? And he said, well, I'm really a boy. And so that was the beginning for me of, you know, and so I started thinking to myself, well, what does that mean? And right away I started thinking, well, how do I know I'm male? Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? What does that feel like? And so right away I realized this is one of those I'd always poo-pooed and not understood gender studies and thought that that was, not a serious subject. And then as I started to think about it, it suddenly I realized, boy, I don't understand much about that and I don't know much about it. So we started going on the Internet, and the first step was really educating ourselves and reading about it, reading stories of biographies by people who were transgender who could then communicate what their journey was like. And then also it helped us understand, you know, we were very sad that we had not realized this before, because we could see how tormented our son was growing up by this difference between who he felt he was and who he who the world expected him to be. And so it was a question of slowly integrating and getting our arms around names and pronouns and things like that.
Chris, I can tell from the way you're nodding your head, this is a familiar story for you.
It's very familiar. Luckily, the Innskeeps handled it very well and supported their child to the fullest. And that's something that we love to see, because this is very tough for kids going through this change to not have that support. So I think that this is a model of how a youth transitions into the gender that they are.
If we can remember that a parent's first job is to love their child, then when things get thrown into their, they figure out how to do it together.
We are talking about transgender issues here on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. My guests are Ken and Christina Innskeep, their parents of a transgender child, and Chris Paulson of Freedom, Indiana. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about transgender issues here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Ken and Christina Innskeep, they're parents of a transgender child, and Chris Paulson of Freedom, Indiana. Again, if you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Ian has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Ian, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Certainly.
Appreciate you taking the time. I was just so impressed with the parents' approach to handling this situation. I think we would all be better off if more handled it the way they did.
Well, thank you very much for the call and the comment. Obviously, Ken and Christina are listening.
Let's just say it's a lot easier in the rearview mirror than looking through the windshield. And
at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah,
in the rain.
Yeah. To be clear, this is just like any other part of child rearing. You make as many mistakes as you do things right. And I think the key, as Christina said earlier, with your children is to always communicate that I love and accept you for who you are, whoever that is.
Thanks very much for the call, Ian.
Absolutely. That was very impressive. Thank you.
Thanks very much. So let me ask, obviously your child got a lot of love and support from the two of you. What was the reaction like outside the family? And they're both looking at each other.
Well, there were mixed things. We wrote a letter to explain to extended family. We're the only ones that live in Indiana, just about. Mm-hmm. And so we wrote a letter to explain to our large extended family. We got back nothing but words like unconditional love. We love you, whoever you are.
And this is a conservative Catholic family.
Mm-hmm. Even though they may have not understood or even not agreed with our approach, they expressed love. And that, I think, is key. When your child comes to you with something so life-changing, so crucial, first express the love and support, and then figure out, educate yourself, find out from professionals, find out from respected sources, all the information you can to work. If your child had leukemia, I don't know anything about leukemia. Okay, you find out, you talk to the doctor. So you express love for the child, for whomever they are. That is so key. There are statistics that bear this out. There's been studies done that show that transgender students who are supported by their parents have much different outcomes, much better outcomes. They reported life satisfaction. If you have supportive family, 72% versus 33% if your family is not supportive. Self-esteem, similar numbers. Mental health, similar numbers. housing problems. Unfortunately, when kids come out to their parents, parents just don't know what to do with this. And I can't actually fathom throwing your kid out for this, but many parents don't know what to do, and the children are have to leave the home. So that leads to losing their education, losing a home. Where are they going to sleep? Where are they going to live? How are they going to get meals? How are they going to get a job if they don't have a high school education? All these things just compound. So I'm encouraging parents to just stop a moment, take a deep breath, and talk to some people who could help you through this before kicking your kids out of the house. Depression.
Getting back to the question in terms of how different people reacted, I think so we had very supportive family. Our doctor, when we first brought it up, was like a deer in the headlights. His eyes got really big, and then he's treated the family for a long time. He said, I'm in it. Let me do some reading and come back and see me in a couple of weeks, and we'll figure out where we go from here. Our child was in a private school. And it was a religious school, and so the school was not supportive initially, and so we had a very difficult senior year. Our child was, a straight-A student and getting top marks and things like that, but could not be called by his actual legal name at that point in the classroom or referred to by his proper pronouns and the like, could not use restrooms. And so as a result, he just didn't go to the bathroom all day, which obviously is not a good thing. And then often, I was very open about it at work and was very impressed at my colleagues' great support, a lot of curiosity, and a lot of people traveling the journey along with us. And we found, I think, that by being open and honest and not being fearful to share our experience, we got an awful lot of support oftentimes from people we were surprised. We kind of thought they were somebody that we weren't going to tell, but they knew us. They knew our child, and because they knew us and we weren't some other weird person, instead it was like, oh, gee, this must be real and it must be something that's significant, and they were very curious about the journey and how it's gone.
Chris, I think the last time you were on this program, we were talking about at the time an attempt to further fix RFRA and perhaps pass some anti-discrimination legislation here in Indiana. And the Senate sponsor said during the course of that hour that he thought, really, okay, we probably can get the LGB part of this taken care of. But for some reason, there's just massive resistance to the T part, to the transgender part. I'm asking this question because I think it's at the heart of this. What is it about the whole notion of transgender people that really raises the hackles in a certain portion of our population? I'd like to hear everybody's thoughts, but I want to hear Chris's thoughts first.
I think most of all, it's just that people are not aware of it, and families like the Inns keeps coming forward and showing that it's just like any other thing that your child might go through, cancer or measles or whatever. It's just something that you work through, and that once more people know people that have transgender members of their family, just like people in the past 20 years now know an LG or B person, you can't say, I don't know somebody that this doesn't affect. And that we're seeing more and more, that more people know transgender people or gender fluid people. And once you know somebody personally, it's not an us versus them. It's all us. And everybody can help with this issue. You don't even have to know somebody, but just being kind and learning and understanding just helps move the conversation in the public sphere and at the state house.
Ken, I'm going to refine the question a little bit for you. Some of this goes beyond opposition, though. There are some people, this issue, this question really scares. I mean, right down to, you know, the soles of their shoes. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think in part of it, look at the importance placed religiously. So it may determine who can be a priest. It may determine who loves, honors, and obeys. It defines different roles. It defines dress. For a lot of us, it is sort of part of our cultural tradition. Women are this way, men are that way. And when those lines get crossed, it can kind of feel like the world is slipping out from under you, and it becomes a foreign place. And so as a result, particularly if you have a strong sense of your maleness or your femaleness, it's hard to get your brain around, okay, what is this really? And, you know, it can just feel a little crazy and unstable.
Christina, you get the last word. Why does this scare people so much?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Transgender people are just people. I think people are afraid when people, as Ken alluded to, that if we don't look male enough or don't look feminine enough. I personally am not a frilly, feminine type of dresser. I don't go for bling. I don't mind it when people go for bling. That's their choice. But I'm not that. So I would slide that slider of gender expression into the middle, kind of probably. So I don't know why people have a big thing about this. Part of it, and I hate to say it, but part of it may hinge on misogyny. It's not seen as okay to be feminine. Our kid was a tomboy, we thought, for many years. And that didn't bother us, big whoop. It didn't bother our neighbors, big whoop. If that child had been a boy wanting to wear nail polish, high heels, bling, dresses, that would have been concerning to a lot of people. And it would have been much more difficult at school. He would have been more harassed than he was not harassed, as his case was. But so I think a lot of it can be misogyny in what we view as appropriate dress for men and women, appropriate appearance.
We are talking about transgender issues here on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Colleen has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Colleen, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm okay. I thank you very much for bringing this issue to light. And like I said, I'd just like to say kudos to the parents for being supportive of their child. You know, I'm 42. I recently came out to my parents, and, you know, I got a warm reception from one and nothing, completely radio silence from the other. So to me, it's, you know, very awesome to hear a parent supportive of their child, because that's really what, you know, we're looking for. We just want to be ourselves.
Exactly.
I'm so glad that you've been able to come out and live as who you really are. I think that's just fantastic.
We support you.
Chris, what's your reaction when you hear something like that, a story like that? You can tell in Colleen's voice, there's obviously there was dignity there, but there's still pain.
Yes.
There is, and I think it's great that we're learning about more and more about transgender people, and people are able to transition into their true selves younger and younger, because I think the longer that a person waits throughout their life, the more issues they have not being able to live as their true selves. So the younger people do transition to their true selves, I think, is great. But I give kudos to people who do it later in life, because that you really have to have some backbone to stand up and say, I am actually going to live who I am, not who I have been pretending to be for the past 42 years.
And to piggyback on what you say, Chris, this is Christina. At part of our journey after our son realized his true identity and our learning, we have co-founded a group for families of transgender children who are younger than 12. Mm-hmm. The Indiana Youth Group helps children ages 12 to 20, but they were getting calls from parents with kids who were younger than that saying, I've got a transgender 7-year-old. Where can I go for them? So we have a monthly support group for families of trans kids.
How do people, if if someone is listening to this and thinking, I would like to be part of that, how do they reach out to you?
Oh, that's wonderful. We have a small online presence, but it will take you to the information of how you can get a hold of us. It is the name of our group is Gender Expansive Kids and Company. And we've condensed that down to a little nickname, Gecko. Mm-hmm. And our website is ingecko.com. That's I-N for Indiana, G-E-K-C-O.com. And that'll take you to a site that will show when our next meetings are and how you can get a hold of us. The meetings are private for confidentiality and for safety, because that is the top concern of all our parents. But you can get a hold of us that way, and then we can connect.
I had another point I wanted to make in response to Colleen, too. I will tell you, I have never seen so much courage as my 17-year-old son demonstrated in coming forward with who he was and then living through the daily assaults of trying to be true to himself in a situation that couldn't recognize him for who he was. And if when you know someone who goes through this journey, you come away with such just awe that someone can have this amount of strength and courage to present themselves as who they truly are and live a true and authentic life. And isn't that what we all strive for? And, you know, as I've told my son several times, you know, it's because you can live who you are, it makes it okay for me to live who I am. So it's just, to me, it's an awe-inspiring thing.
And
to see.
I want to add a little bit to the caller. You would be really surprised. This younger generation of parents is so much more informed, so much more warm and welcoming, and they're wanting to do the right thing by their children. I'm just amazed and awed by how much they come to us already knowing and wanting to do, that these young kids are already getting to live who they are as young people, so perhaps they won't have nearly as many problems later on.
We've gotten a Facebook message from a listener named Zuni, and if you want to find us on Facebook, we're at No Limits WFYI. Zuni writes, I have a question. Can you please explain non-binary sexual identity? How does that work?
Okay.
I can take that one.
Chris, go ahead.
And we're talking about gender identity when we talk non-binary in this setting. So a non-binary gender identity would be someone who doesn't identify as purely male or purely female, somewhere in between. So you see things like the tomboys. It's not a set gender. They don't feel like Ken does, like I'm male. Mm-hmm. It goes in between. And I want to, as Ken said, there's definitely a difference between gender identity and sexual orientation. So I think people get those two things confused. But when we're talking about transgender issues, we're talking about gender identity issues.
And so the binary has been around for a long time. Almost every culture has recognized many call it two-spirit or things like that. And they've traditionally been spiritual leaders or, you know, shaman, things like that, and tend to be viewed as people with special insight because they have both the male and the female perspective.
So in terms of this, I mean, what I'm hearing is this scares people in part because of a certain degree of misogyny from Christina, and I see nodding of heads here. How much of it is also just the fact that the whole idea of sex, period, as a culture freaks us out?
I think they do, definitely. we're based on a Puritan culture from back in the 1600s, right? And I think people have to come back and separate them out. Gender is different than sex. Mm. So gender identity means who I am, how do I feel, who am I? And children know this. The American Academy of Pediatrics and other associations confirm that children know their gender at a very early age. So they're not making some kind of choice. They're telling you who they are, who they are. The choice comes later on when they decide to do something about it. That's the only choice part. and sexual orientation is way different.
We are talking about transgender issues here on No Limits. My guests are Ken and Christina Inskeep, parents of a transgender child, and Chris Paulson of Freedom Indiana. I'm John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about transgender issues here on No Limits. My guests are Ken and Christina Inskeep, they're parents of a transgender child, and Chris Paulson of Freedom Indiana. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at wfyi, or you can do what a listener named Don has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Don, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. John, I appreciate your show. I've listened to it many times.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm calling in today because this is a hot topic, obviously. Your canon guest mentioned the American Academy of Pediatrics. I just read a statement put out by them a few weeks ago where they list 8 different reasons that encouraging children to become transgendered, including operations accordingly, is considered child abuse. And they took a very straight look at it and said, you are born male or female. What you're dealing with most often is a psychiatric challenge that needs to be addressed accordingly. I'm wondering if your guests could address that issue.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Don.
I'll take it off the air.
Thank you. There's a special distinction to be made. The American Academy of Pediatricians is a legit organization of the America's Pediatricians. There is another similar sounding name, the American College of Pediatricians, that is not a legitimate group of that would have this kind of authority. They have not been supported by Johns Hopkins. They say they come out of there, but they are, I believe, they're even classified as a hate group from the Southern Poverty Law Center. So we have to be careful of our sources and read very carefully the names of the organizations saying that. We are not encouraging our children to be transgender. We are listening to our children who are telling us who they are and then exploring that with them. That's a very different distinction.
Chris, I could see you nodding your head. You want to get in on this?
Yeah, definitely. I think sources are very important, and there are a number of hate groups that speak out against transgender people. And I think that's very important that people listen to what the actual medical professionals are saying about this. It is not a psychological disorder. It is something that is innate, and people are born with their gender identity.
There's a very good there were two very good sources that I might refer people to. One of them is Charlie Rose has a wonderful special that he did on the brain and gender. I would suggest people Google Charlie Rose Gender Show or something like that, and you will find an interesting discussion by scientists, professionals, and transgender people on this very topic. Another thing was the Katie Couric Gender Revolution special on Nat Geo. I don't get cable, but you can also order the DVD on Nat Geo's website. It gave a very clear explanation of what transgender is and what it isn't that people can access.
We are talking about transgender issues here on No Limits. Bobby, welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Well, since transgender is not something new, it's always been, I just wondered what happened to the 1% from past generations. Do they just remain silent, or how would they get support now, since I'm sure they didn't have it years ago?
Thanks very much for the call and the question.
You are right, Bobby. Transgender is nothing new. It's been with us throughout history. Even in medieval times, transgender individuals were talked about. In the past, transgender individuals have been silent. Suicide rates have been huge. And now we're seeing people come forward and be very brave, and we're seeing more and more people accept transgender people. So it makes it easier, not easy, but it makes it easier for them to live as their authentic selves.
And I think, too, it's important to recognize that in many cultures that was not the case. Many cultures actually recognized that there were transgender people, and they fit in as a normal part of their culture and tribe.
Right.
We've gotten a question comment from a listener via Facebook, and if you want to reach out to us via Facebook, you can find us at No Limits WFYI. Listener writes, thank you so much for discussing this topic. As a CIS woman, I have really struggled to find resources and events to learn about the transgender experience. Are there any local meetings, events, or lectures one can go to educate themselves?
There are. I'm glad you asked that question. Thank you. There are several organizations in Indianapolis. Indy Trans, is that what they call it now? Meets every month, and it's for trans people, but there's also an accompanying breakout session for the people who love and care about trans people. Also, I might say PFLAG. It's just like it sounds, the letter P and the word flag. It used to stand for Parents, Friends of Lesbians and Gays, but now we just call it PFLAG, and we call ourselves the extended family of the LGBT community. In fact, our monthly meeting is tonight at Life Journey Church, 6 to 8 p.m. We meet every month on the first Tuesday of the month, 6 to 8 p.m. at Life Journey. And there are parents there. There are members of the LGBT community. We can discuss these things and learn more. Also, I want to give out, I have lots of resources, but the PFLAG National website, pflag.org. There's wonderful resources there. One of my favorites that I love to give to people is an orange booklet. You can download the PDF for free or pay the small fee for buying the booklet itself. It's called Our Trans Loved Ones. It explains it in very accessible language, very clearly and respectfully. It's a wonderful resource.
The phone bank is filling up here, and we're starting to get social. So I'm going to ask everyone, both callers and listeners here and the panel, to try to be as tight as possible because we want to give as many people a chance to talk as we possibly can. Alex, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. I just had two very quick comments. First, thank you so much for having this discussion to your panel for their bravery in bringing this to light, not only with dealing with it in such a great manner with their son, but also with being public with this. I can't imagine what it might be like to have a family and then try and be public with a matter like this. And my second thing was to the point of where you were talking of fear and why do people fear this. And I don't mean to demonize nor ostracize any person that fears transgender, but I think it really falls to just a matter of ignorance and propelled ignorance and an unwillingness to educate themselves and bring themselves to understand that this isn't necessarily something they have to fear. The gay community went through a lot of this, still goes through a lot of this, and the transgender community now is getting to see a lot of this as well. I'll take all comments off the air.
Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Alex. Chris?
I agree with what Alex says. It's something that the gay community went through, and it's just a matter of education and people learning about transgender, other transgender people and transgender rights. It's not a bathroom issue. It's a life issue that we need to address.
Gotten an email from a listener named Ben, and if you want to join the conversation by email, send us your thoughts at nolimits@wfyi.org. Ben writes, I remember having a discussion with my father about the transgender bathroom issue. My father leans conservative, and he felt that those who opposed the bathroom bill were justified to feel uncomfortable, since it's an unfamiliar circumstance. As he put it, if I'm using the bathroom and there is a transgender person using the stall next to me, I have a right to feel uncomfortable because I'm not sure how to engage that individual in social discussion. My response was, Dad, bathrooms are not places to engage socially. They're where we go to use the bathroom. If you feel compelled to engage a transgender person, zip up, wash your hands, and talk to that person outside the bathroom. It's what I do for everybody else. I was raised Catholic, but pragmatism is my religion now. Pragmatically, transgender individuals are not a threat to us, and they're not looking to engage in a social discussion while using the bathroom any more than you or I are.
Thank you. Perfect. You, perfect.
Ken or Christina or Chris, any,
I don't know how to
anything?
Engage with anybody in the bathroom. I just try and get in and out as quick as I can.
And trans people are looking to get in and out also. They are the ones at risk when they're in a bathroom. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are most often attacked in a bathroom. So they are also looking to just get in and out.
And I think, too, you know, the assumption that you know who is or isn't trans is just wrong.
We're talking about transgender issues here on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what Dan has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Dan, welcome to the program.
Hello there. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Certainly.
I heard a previous caller mention that at age 42, they had come out to their parents and how difficult that was. And you, the panel spoke about it, but shifted their focus to the Indiana Youth Group and another entity that is focused towards children. I wanted to make sure that an emerging organization in Indianapolis got mentioned on this forum. It's called Gender Nexus, and they've just received an office recently, I think in the Indiana Interchurch Center, and they cater to the adult community.
Perfect.
I wanted to make sure that got mentioned here.
Thanks very much. And you know, if you would not mind, if they have URL or other contact information, you wouldn't mind going to our Facebook page and putting it there so everybody could see it?
Absolutely. I will do that right now.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Dan.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the call.
Yep.
We've also gotten an email from a listener named Charles. Our email address is nolimits@wfyi.org. Charles writes, "I am impressed by my friend Christina and her husband. Fear is the reason people are so troubled. The ideas that have been related so far by these courageous parents regarding their child sound like the confusion that a black child, brown child, or a feminist might have been faced with when they discover how, when they discover how society views them in the past and even today. Society expects them to act and be a certain way when all that is needed is respect and consideration for everyone as a human being, something getting more lost in the current presidential era and the laws passed in Indiana. I pray that the predicament of this family and all others like them takes considerably less time to resolve than it has taken for laws and minds to change with respect to people of color and feminists. I agree with Christina about the misogyny." So that raises a question. How do we get past this? I'll start with Chris.
I think education is the key. People need to learn about it. Having brave people speak out, both parents and transgender people speak out and be public so the rest of the public sees that they are not scary, that they're just people trying to live their lives. I think that's the answer.
I think, too, it always surprises me how often we make gender important when it's not. We have our elementary school kids line up in boys, girls, and girls lines. We have all these forms with, are you male, are you female? And so we put a lot of emphasis on it. When you really think about it, it's like, why is that the important thing? When somebody's kid is born, we say, oh, is it a boy or a girl? Now, why do we go there other than sort of it's a traditional question to ask in response?
I have three quick points. Number one, love people, show respect, and train your children that way. Raise your children to be loving, kind, compassionate people. Two, in the school environment now with all this news, call your schools, express your insistence that they support transgender people. And three, donate to organizations who are working on their behalf, the ACLU, Lambda Legal, and locally and more urgently, the Indiana Youth Group, who is actually, they're building a new renovating a new building to accommodate more youth that will need them.
We're talking about transgender issues here on No Limits. Taylor, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for putting the show on to your guests for having the courage to speak up and present the reality to Indiana as a whole. I have to wonder, in fact, I can pretty much put my finger out that, you know, how much trans rights will be helped by having more public figures. You know, for example, the gay and lesbian community probably took a lot of solace from Ellen DeGeneres coming out on air and Will and Grace. I'm not totally sure. I can't remember the name of that show.
We know the one.
But that helped. And, I'm not saying it was the end-all, be-all for securing more civil rights for LGBT individuals, but it helped. And similarly, I mean, I feel that there are certain individuals who either explicitly or in some way help out the anti-civil rights cause. For example, Tony Dungy accepted an award from a hate group. And there was no public outcry to say, hey, that's wrong. And, you know, by association, maybe they forced the cult to make a statement on it. So that probably has to happen in much to much more a higher degree these days.
Taylor, we're getting a little tight on time, so I want to give them a chance to respond.
I'll take my comment off the air. Thank you.
Certainly. Thanks very much for the call and the question. Ken?
I think that that's one of the things that we've tried to emphasize by being so... I like to say transparent as a family with a trans kid is to let people know, hey, it's actually normal. It's just a kid.
We've gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Robert. And again, you can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. Robert writes, so many people blind themselves from listening to anything other than their own definition of gender. Do we need to make a new word? Ken, you're smiling.
Well, so there's a lot of different words out there. You know, some people use Z, some people use they. And I think our society will manage to keep up because we're all creative and we'll develop the language we need to communicate.
I'm going to ask, because the conversation's continuing to go on here, if the three of you would be willing to engage on Facebook and continue the discussion, because we're getting actually quite a lively debate there.
Certainly.
So in terms of the impact of President Trump's executive order, Ken, I'll let you speak to this because we've got just very little time. What did that do?
So one of the most moving things I ever saw was Loretta Lynch, who was the attorney general, speak directly to trans people and say, we see you, we hear you, we will defend you. It makes me choke up a little bit. And I think that was a tremendous event, and it's unfortunate that is not the position of this administration. But what was really important to me was to hear an attorney general say that.
That will have to be the last word, I think. I'd like to thank my guests, Ken and Christina Inskeep, their parents of a transgender child, and Chris Paulson of Freedom Indiana. Obviously, the way that the things are going on right now, we could have talked for at least another hour about this, but I always appreciate talking with you and appreciate you coming in and discussing this. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
And I would like to thank all of our listeners, the ones we were able to squeeze onto the air and also the ones that we were not, for some great questions and discussions. Hope you will continue that on Facebook. We'll be back here on Thursday. I'm John Kroll. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Cherzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.